Welcome to episode 46 of a Thai football podcast with me, Dale Farrington.
And me, Rob Bernard.
Hi, Rob. How's it going?
Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, my ears have stopped bleeding after a massive concert last night. Yeah, a bit too loud for me, but good old Isan. Great to get out to a game Friday and relax the rest of the time, watch some football on TV.
So who was at the concert then? If your ears were bleeding, it sounds like it could have been Motorhead, Sonic Youth, My Bloody Valentine all playing together, was it?
I don't know where it was. It's the loudest event I've ever been to in my life. I've been to gigs at Hyde Park, Wembley. This was like nothing on earth. Honestly, my chest was vibrating. I was in pain with it.
As we've said on this programme, there's very little else to do up there, mate. So,
oh, it certainly drew a big crowd and fair play. They're not a party, but it's not for this Westerner.
Oh, that's fair enough. The quiet life. You can't beat it, can you?
You can't.
Anyway, on to the football. You did have a day out on Friday, which was very sedate, very quiet. So right up your street, Rob. And we're going to hear all about it now. So this is your roving report from last Friday.
Rob's Roving Report.
This week's Roving Report, and it's something of a bit of a difference for me. I've been to an awful lot of football over the years. I used to go and watch my niece when she played junior football. I've seen Barnet Bees play one Sunday, fill in a bit of time and tick off another new venue. I saw Germany women lose to Finland women in Wiesbaden. That's going back a few years as well. So today, I'm delving into the Thai Women's League, and in particular the Division 2 clash between Sisaket and Burirat Academy from Buriram. Now, we've featured the Thai Women's before. I know you went to a game, Dale, and Samuel Thornley came on the show, former boss of the now-defunct BSL in Bangkok. And the league consists of two divisions, both with eight teams. Now, there's obviously quite a lot of funding goes in because they're spread far and wide, and this is somewhat of a local derby. So it's being played at a venue I've never been to before. It's over the road from the Sri Nakhon Lamdawan Stadium where Sisaket United clinched the T3 regional title this season. So we'll see what it brings. I've been told to take a brolly because there's very little shade at the ground. Temperatures have fortunately dropped. We're in the late 30s. We haven't tipped over 40 today, which is a relief. So I'm heading into Sisaket for my usual pre-match routine, meeting up with some friends, have a nice bit of chit-chat, some farang food for the one time this week, and some libation. Right, so this afternoon's game, Sisaket women up against Burirat Academy from Buriram, who are joint bottom. I'm not sure what Mr. Newin would make of that, but obviously he's not an investor there. It's a academic establishment. Sisaket fifth in the league, and just to show how widespread the division is, the top of the table in a Konsi. What a journey that is to come all the way up here. So we'll see how today's game goes. It's very warm. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff here at the Sisaket Sports School. So half time here at Sisaket Sports School, where the score's 0-0. And the thing that surprised me this game is just how small some of the players are. You forget things like that. But I tell you what, they're not lacking in technical skill. They've been trained very well, both sides. Visitors, I expected, would be slightly weaker than the host, but not to be. Both sides have had a few half chances. Not too much in it, although we suggest that it could very well get stretched in the second half in this heat. We've managed to find some shade by the changing room block. It's a basic ground, a few steps of terrace in either side of the changing room block with a VIP room and video tower upstairs. Very pleasant way to spend a Friday afternoon. Yeah, we'll see how the second half goes. As I say, not a lot of goal mouth action, but there is the potential for that in the second half. The referee, full credit to her. She's been taking drink breaks every 10 minutes for the players. Far more sensible than some of the antics we've seen in the last few weeks. 0-0 at half-time. Getting on towards halfway in the second half and nearly a goal. The keeper for Burirat has been in fine form in this second half. She's had a lot more work to do as the home team pile on a bit of pressure. But she fumbled that one, but the shot cleared off the line. It's a good game. This is, you know, I suggest anyone goes to this Thai Women's League with an open mind and take it for the entertainment. It's very well trained, both sides. Some great technical ability on shore. A slightly slower pace than the men and less brute force, but it's well worth a watch. 0-0. Well, the deadlock broken here, and the horse have gone one up, and what a goal it was from number 7. She received a short corner near the angle of the penalty area, beat a player cutting inside, and then sent a wicked swerving shot that curled over the Bury Rat keeper into the top corner. 1-0 to the horse, 20 minutes to go. So the Isan Derby comes to an end, just one goal in it. The winners, Seasaket Women against Bury Rat Academy, and the game won with a superb piece of skill and shot. But both teams gave everything. Bury Rat till the end. Must have thought they're still in with a chance of an equaliser. But a lovely game of football, played in great spirit. Some great technical skill on show as well. Well worth an effort if anyone's at a loose end. Go and watch your local women's team in the Thai League. Free admission, you'll see plenty of effort, plenty of skill, and played in good spirit. Final score here at Seasaket Sports School, Seasaket Women 1, Bury Rat Academy 0. Yeah, I did enjoy it, and I must admit, it opened my eyes. I'll certainly return again, especially if it's on a Friday with the beer buffet at my local bar afterwards. Very convenient. Just a great day out, you know, meeting up with friends, bite to eat, good game of football. You know, it hasn't got the fast pace. I know you commented earlier in the season. It's a little bit more genteel, but all the fundamentals are in place. They play well. It was really enjoyable and played in great spirit.
I really enjoyed my trip to watch the Women's League game, and I totally agree with you. I think they're all very skillful. You can see that they put a lot of effort in on the training field. And yeah, it's great. And I would definitely encourage anybody to go along and watch a women's game.
Yeah, we're at the mid-season break now. Everyone's played the 7 games in both divisions. So just waiting for the second leg of fixtures to come out.
On to the men's game now. And it's been a busy weekend in the top flight. We've got a few match reports coming up. So we'll listen to those first, then we'll do our roundup.
Tied to Football Podcast. Match reports.
Assalamualaikum, sawadikap, good evening from Dragon Solar Park. Today, match day 27 of the Thai League. The match between Ratchaburi FC and BG Patung. First half just ended 1-0 for the visitors. Actually, both teams played equally. Ratchaburi had their chances and BG as well. BG not as their quality players showing today, but one silly mistake from the defender of Ratchaburi, Jonathan Kemdi, losing the ball to Chanatip, and he used his chances to make a goal for another players. 1-0, BG Batam at the half. We'll see what happened in the second half. The game has ended still 1-0 for the visitors. No goals after the 40th minute from a silly mistake by Ratchaburi player. Even in the second half, Ratchaburi trying to score. And until the last minute of the 5th minute at the time, even the BG coach Tegumuri, the Japanese, he asking for ending the game. That's how Ratchaburi attacks. Well, there it is. No luck today. Two big chances in front of the goal, hit the bar, scores, remains 1-0 until end of the game. See you on the next one. Come on, you Dragons.
Tied to Football Podcast. Match reports.
A warm welcome, and it is a very warm welcome to Macomber Tom United Municipality Stadium today. Bury Ram looking to take 3 points from the Macomber Tom, brought a full complement of fans with them, and we're looking forward to a great game. Let's hope that the Macomber Tom United might just snatch something today. 11 minutes in, a couple of decent chances for Bury Ram. Watnachai pulling off two great saves, but in the last 30 seconds, Leslie's just cut in from the right-hand side, went on a Mersey run, just lost his legs, and it could have been 1-0. Well, some fun and games there in the last 2 or 3 minutes. Bury Ram just cut in from the right-hand side. Beautiful shot. smack right in the centre of the post, straight back out. God knows what the referee's been up to, but they just checked for VAR and nobody in the ground had no idea what was going on. Still, Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 0. 26 minutes in, drink break. Bit of a scare in Agomadom's goalkeeper. He pulled off another worldie of a save with his left arm. Seems to have tweaked it a little bit. It's gone down. Without question, Buriram on the front foot all the way through this game. But Northampton are hanging on here. And I'll tell you what, if they can bring it to 0-0 at half time, we could be looking at a little bit of an upset this evening.
Oh!
Minutes in, they got my Dom there, ball stuck in the feet, bit like a rugby scrum, couldn't get it out. All of a sudden, checking for a penalty, sadly not given. Half time, Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 0, and what a fantastic first half we've been witnessing today. Bury Ram obviously in the ascendancy from the kickoff, couple of chances, but what an achievement, and the Northampton goal's been playing an outstanding game. Three or four class saves, and then of course Northampton start to come back into the game. Leslie cut in from the right, lovely effort, and then towards the end, a couple of penalty appeals, but I tell you what, Taco Ito, he must be wishing he would have scored. Again, a lot of problems in the Bury Ram defence. Ball drops to Taco Ito. He wasn't quite sure what to do. He had a punt, hits the side netting. Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 0. Well, it was coming. Northampton United 0, Bury Ram 1. Lovely strike from Crispin. Ball comes over from the left-hand side. Takes it down, bangs it with his right foot, back of the net. Northampton United 0, Bury Ram 1. There's more goals in here, and I reckon there could be more goals for Northampton. Still Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 1. 57 minutes, and he's on. The frog catcher's on. Evandro's come on. I suspect that Akbar wouldn't have brought him on if we were still at 0-0, but yes, the Northampton United fans are waiting to see what this striker we signed from Track can really do. Penalty appeal there, everybody's just jumped up. We've had to look on the AIS. Evandro, what the bloody hell were you doing there, lad? Never going to be a penalty in a month of Sundays. Remains Northampton 0, Bury Ram United 1. But I tell you what, Northampton United, there's every chance of them equalising here, but Bury Ram are by far the stronger side. Drink break, 72 minutes, still remains Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 1, but my word, Leslie Ablo just put Attenberg through. All he needed to do was square it across for Evandro, gone for a corner. 75 minutes, Northampton United 0, Bury Ram United 2. Bench was all up, looking for a foul on Northampton for a high boot. He's crossed it over from the right. Free header, back of the net, but the bench is fuming. Final score, Northampton United 0, Bury Ram 2. Bury Ram came here, did a job. Northampton did make a right good game of it, first half in particular, but at the end of the day, the class showed, and two well-worked goals from Bury Ram to take them another 3 points higher in the league. Pluses for Northampton. Well, I suppose we all saw Evandro, but that's another story.
A report on Tsukata's visit to the Thunderdome on Saturday, May the 4th. Tsukata visited the Thunderdome, stayed for a couple of hours, lost 5 goals, and did nothing worth reporting about. End of report. Thank you. Now, if we look a little closer under the Sukhothai rock, we find a few interesting life specimens. Number one, Nelson Bonilla, our superstar striker. Where was he on Saturday? He never made an appearance of any kind. His protege, number 91, was unavailable due to a red card, and he was away creating his own uproar by playing for some other team. Time will tell how that one ends up. But basically, on Saturday, we played a game with no striker. Is there problems between Bonilla and the club coaching? I don't know. Time will tell. After Bonilla, problem number two, the hardcore supporters. Last year, 200-300 hardcore supporters sang and chanted all through the game, adding an incredible atmosphere, even though it poured with rain and basically flooded the field by the end. This year, there were maybe six who did their best, but it was not very much. What is going on here? The story is that after the cup defeat at Kanchanaburi, words were exchanged between hardcore and the club president. And the club president ended up saying, "Sukhothai is my club. You are customers of my club. You have no right to say anything about how I run the club." Needless to say, this is not how the average supporter thinks of their club. Supporters give their hearts and souls. I have spent a lot of money this year and last year traveling to all the away games. It's not easy. Yes, I have not, the financial investment is not there, but my heart and soul has been invested, and so has hearts and souls of the hardcore. It would seem that a serious rift has been created between president and supporters. At the end of the game, I met a pair of ladies that I have seen a lot at away games, and they both had beautiful homemade t-shirts which said in Thai, "My money is in my pocket, where the Sukhothai Football Club cannot get at it." What will happen this Saturday? Will anyone come to the game? I don't know. We will see what happens. But Sukhothai does not have any club official whose job it is to deal with supporters. Buriram could teach Sukhothai a lot on how to deal with the lifeblood of a club, the supporters. We are apparently just customers and we don't count for anything. How this will end, I don't know. We are playing Police on Saturday, a game that we should and must win. If there will be a report from me after the game on Saturday, perhaps Sukhothai will live happily ever after, but I am seriously concerned that Division 2 is not the only serious consequence this club is facing.
Yeah, thanks ever so much for the roundups, lad. Reaser hasn't mentioned Campon in goal, has he, as much of late, Dale?
No, and he was giving Jonathan a bit of stick as well. So, I don't know, maybe he's now starting to agree with Ishii on those two.
Maybe, and great to have Lyle sending his first report. Comprehensive stuff, Lyle, well done, mate.
It was very good, wasn't it? And it sounds like it was a good occasion. Obviously, Buriram, as he said, a step closer to the T1 title, especially with Bangkok United slipping up at Konkan United on Sunday. With a, was it 97th minute equaliser, was it?
It was. You wouldn't believe why there was 11 minutes added on, Dale. I don't know if you saw any of it. But when the second goal went in for Bangkok United, the player continued into the net and he broke it. The net actually split. So they spent probably 6 or 7 minutes fixing it up. I think it was the Bangkok United staff who had to stitch it together.
No, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't see the game. You know, I wasn't aware of any incidents. But as you know, I've seen Konkan United a few times this season and I've been very impressed with them, and to be honest, it's no surprise that they're pretty much safe now, and a great performance at the weekend.
It wasn't that equaliser was coming. You know, it was they were hanging on and hanging on. I tell you what, I know which team was the happier of the two to hear the final whistle.
Yeah, but probably not so happy overall, because it now looks as if you've been right all along and the title is heading back up to the northeast.
Yeah, I mean, they're good, aren't they? They've made the signings when they had to. They're just good.
And even changing manager midstream, that takes some doing to keep that momentum going when you change your head coach.
It could be argued they should have made the change earlier. And, you know, the league could have been won a couple of weeks earlier.
And you'd have had longer to gloat, Rob.
No, I take no satisfaction out of Buriram winning the league, believe me. I just thought it was inevitable.
We'll come back to that in a while. I think our focus now needs to turn to the bottom of the league. Succotai's absolute pasting at Mungtong United won't have done them much good. And Chonburi's defeat at Port. So it does look now as if it's the current bottom two. And then it's a bit of a dogfight for that third place, isn't it?
It is, and I must commend you. You've been honest all the way through. I thought you were maybe just putting a bad slant on it and hoping for the best, but Chonburi looked a beaten side, Dale, yesterday. It makes me wonder whether the overseas players have been told they're not getting the contracts renewed, because they didn't down tools, but they were half-hearted last night.
It's been that way for a long time, and like you say, I've been saying it on here, I've been saying it on Twitter, and it was interesting to see some of the comments over the weekend. It wasn't a surprise to me, but yeah, I mean, from what I can gather, and the evidence is all there in front of our eyes, so I'm just piecing it all together, really, is that they can no longer afford to compete in the top flight. Once the coach went midway through the season, you know, they employed a top coach, and I think now looking at it, the reason he went, he was brought in initially to bring through the youth players, but I'm guessing he thought that was only a part of his job, and it turned out to be all of his job. They weren't interested in anything else, so he went. He wasn't replaced. They got Heng in to oversee the first team. Obviously, he was already employed by the club. They didn't have to look around. It's saving money. They got rid of Kritsadar. Publicly, they said the money from that sale has gone into funding the academy. They've been playing academy players all season. The foreigners they've got this year, apart from the odd flash, and possibly Patrick Dato, I think he's probably been the outstanding foreigner, just haven't been up to it. And as you said, I think they all know they're on the way out. And the club want to go down. They want to go down. You know, they can't afford to play in T1. Next season, they're going to flood the team full of academy players. It's all going to be youngsters. I doubt we'll have any foreigners there at all. I think a possible change is that Adun will get the first team head coach role with Heng overseeing, because again, he's already on the payroll. They don't have to employ someone. They don't have to spend money. And obviously, wages will be cheap because they're all young lads. And they'll be happy just floating around in the middle of T2, selling on the better players in order to survive. And that's the reality. I can't see beyond that. It wasn't me just saying, oh, we're going down and hoping, you know, that we wouldn't. I knew all along. The clues are all there.
I thought at the halfway break, if they'd have brought a coach in, it was possible to salvage it, no problem, wasn't it? But as you say, it points to economics, Dale. It does. And unless you've got rich benefactors, it is difficult.
They could have salvaged it. They could have done if they'd have wanted to, which makes me think they didn't want to. This is the plan. You know, relegation is the plan, without a doubt, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, there's three games to go. And it's interesting when you read the comments on social media. You know, oh, Succotai and blah, 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 and Chonburi only need to beat. But it's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. They do want to go down. I'm convinced.
No, I'm like an astute bet, Dale, but I wouldn't be touching Chonburi against Pratchett up the form they're in. And that's the game they have to win.
We won't win again all season.
No, I think I make you right. I do make you right. And no offence to Succotai fans, Bill, but you've got away with one. I tell you what, they're only going to stay up because there's three worse teams than them.
Well, they'll struggle next season, won't they?
Yeah. It's a shame. We want provincial teams to do well.
That leads us nicely onto the T2 playoffs. We had the first legs of the semi-finals this weekend. Nakhon Si United beat Chiang Mai 1-0 and the UTA United beat Rayong 2-1. So it's still very much all to play for, isn't it, in the second legs next weekend?
It sure is. Wouldn't it be some kind of ironic symmetry if Ayutthaya got the T1 place back as Buriram, who nicked the club in the first place, celebrate the title?
I want Rayong to go up purely for P-pop, as I've said before, but it would be nice to see an Ayutthaya team back in the top flight, and let's hope they can stay there this time and not be courted by some out-of-town multimillionaire and whisked off halfway across the country.
In all seriousness, that playoff, you wouldn't want to pick one out of the four from here, would you?
It's very tight. And again, as we've said, you know, the league placings kind of hinted that, didn't they? There were very few points separating those four teams at the end of the season. So it's just as we expected, really. So it's all to play for. Looking forward to watching those next weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, we have mentioned it a couple of times. Buriram United, they're not yet mathematically champions, but it would take an astonishing turn of events to prevent them winning it. And I caught up with Jamie after the round of matches last night, and he was very cautious, he was very cagey, but I think he's just looking forward to celebrating next weekend when Buriram United play Port. Here's what he had to say. Welcome, Jamie. Is it too early for this?
It is way too early, my friend.
Can you win it next week? If you win next week, will you be champions?
Yes. It is possible, as much as I don't want to smile when I say this, it is possible to play Port, our previous tormentors, and to win it against them. I think actually it may end up being a draw and it may go to another week. But if they do, then so be it.
But surely the stage is set, isn't it, for a grandstand finish?
We're looking at a full house, which will be an excellent way to win it there. You know, we're looking at a 96th minute dodgy penalty to Buriram to give them the league title. You know that's what's coming.
In my experience, things like this either go two ways. You either blow it completely, so nerves get the better of you and you lose 2-0, or you end up winning comprehensively. You'll get a cricket score and seal the title in front of a, like you say, a packed house. That's the way it's going to go out. I think the latter scenario is how it'll all unfold next week.
I think it's more up to Port, to be honest, because you know what you're going to get at home with Buriram wanting to win the league. You don't know what you get with Port week in, week out. If they turn up, then you just don't know. If they decide, like, let's just go to Isan for a weekend out, then we will hammer them. But I don't think that will happen. I think they will really be up for it. They want to prove that their 4-1 drubbing of us back in whatever it was, December, wasn't a fluke. They want to prove that they are the better team, which obviously they're not because they're below us in the league. But they want to try and prove something.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. As you've just said, overall, clearly Buriram United have been the best team again. Now, do you ever see this coming to an end?
Well, you say that, then, you know, if you took the last 4 years, you know, Buriram have won it twice and Chiang Rai and BG have won it. So it's not like it's a decade of dominance. It's just the last 2 years. And the last 2 years, Buriram have won because they're the better team, but they're not that much better than the rest. Bangkok United, last 5 games, they've drawn 4 of them and won 1. Yeah, that's not Buriram being brilliant. That's Bangkok United being poor. Do I care? No, I don't. There will be a point then, honestly, and this is a serious point. The whole club has been as it is for the last 12, 13 years with the owners in charge, with the fans doing it. And there's going to be a time, and there's going to be a big change, and it's coming very soon with the owner and his wife are getting on a bit. They're both getting into their 60s. The lovely Karuna's be 60, I think, next week, a couple of weeks' time. They're going to pass it on to their son. How will he handle it? Some of these stalwart players, Sivilak in goal, for example, and some of these stalwart players, they're coming to the end of their careers. How's that going to change? There is going to be a period in the next 2 or 3 years when a lot will change at Buriram. How their succession planning is, I'd imagine it's pretty good. But you just don't know if the same enthusiasm will stay in at the club for that period.
I think you're right. I think it's difficult, isn't it? I know, speaking from my own experience at my own club, which we'll come on to shortly, when things are going really well, you can't see a time when they will ever change. But there's always something, isn't there? And as you've said now, you know, they will eventually have to pass the baton on, and it's how the next person deals with it, whether they've got the same drive, whether they've got the same attributes, whether they've got the same talents to carry things on.
They've been a wonderful couple doing the whole thing ever since, you know, they pulled it together as Buriram United. The son who will take over has been running the academy. Does he have a partner who's going to be as involved as Karuna was and who's going to drive him as well? Also, Dale, you know, if Buriram don't, who is the team that's going to pick up the mantle and then become the next Buriram? Where do you see that? Do you see it as BG with the stadium, with the setup? Do you see it as Mung Tong coming back? What is following from Buriram if they don't stay there?
Well, the potential is definitely there at BG. The stadium's now complete. They've been pulling the crowds in. I think overall had a pretty decent season. It's clearly been one where they've been rebuilding. So yes, I expect them to be challenging in the next couple of seasons. Again, with Mung Tong United, they had a terrible first leg and a fantastic second leg. although their crowds don't seem to have grown very much. So something must be wrong behind the scenes there for that to be the case. These clubs coming up, Bangkok FC, for example, you know, Sisaket United, we can't really rule those two out. We've been following them quite closely, and they both look to be very well-run clubs. They play good football, and the potential to draw the crowds is definitely there as well.
I think there's two teams you've missed out there. One is Korat, who have just come up, who have the huge base there to build on, you know, much bigger base than Buriram have. And also, the Bangkok United, for goodness sake, you know, they should be looking at the situation of Buriram thinking, well, if Buriram do falter at all, we should be taking that on board from there. They got, you know, they are Bangkok United, for God's sake. They are the Bangkok team. They should be looking at saying, oh, let's start planning for 3 or 4 years when we can start moving forward.
Bangkok United's issue has been well documented. It's the crowds. They don't get the crowds, and where they play. You know, two big stumbling blocks, I think, there. On the field, they seem to have got most things right. You know, they've pushed you pretty much all the way this season. But it's the off-field thing. And the other clubs we've mentioned, and you're quite right to say Nakhon Ratchasima should be included in that, these are clubs who seem to be getting things right off the field and then building on the field as well. And I think that's where the next challenge is going to come. Somebody who gets it right in both those areas.
I think if someone came along to Korat, as Nevin has done to Buriram, their catchment is huge. If they were to be playing the next first half of the season in the top four, they'd be getting 25,000, more than Buriram every week for sure. They have the huge potential there if someone just buys them and does it right.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with Russ the other week and we both agreed on that. They could be the biggest club in Thailand. It's how they manage it now, isn't it? You do need to be careful because there was a club who burst onto the scene a few years ago who looked like they were set to dominate. They were, in terms of crowds, in terms of performances, in terms of honours, they were streets ahead of everyone else. And they're now on the verge of being relegated. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
It's funny because I was going to come go a very similar angle onto this next point. When you were, you know, let's go back 12 years ago when Chonburi were the team down, you know, the team, you know, as you said, going back 15 years ago, the only team outside Bangkok. Did you ever envisage that that would end?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm on record where my biggest concern was we would be too big for the league. And that was a genuine concern at that time because it didn't look like anyone else was capable of challenging. And it's hard now to make people understand that, given, you know, what's happened over the past 15 years. But that was certainly true in 2007, 2008.
You need someone down there to say, you know, we were Buriram 15 years ago. Let's get back there because, you know, we can do that. If there's anybody who's willing to, you know, go the extra mile down there and instill in people the winning attitude that Buriram have and say, you know, we used to be that. Why can't we do it again?
I think that's all gone. I don't think we'll ever get that back. And I certainly think this season they've just thrown the towel in. The problem we have now is it's no longer in our hands. We're relying on others. And we can't even rely on ourselves. They're not good enough. They don't want to stay up. That's pretty clear. And once we go down, we'll be in the second tier for quite a considerable time. Look at Supan Buri. I think that's the way we're going.
Did you say the other week that if they don't go down this year, then next year they guarantee going down?
Absolutely.
That would be my worry. If they do survive by a point this year, what's going to happen next year?
I'd rather it just happen now. I'd rather be put out of our misery, to be honest. Although now they've got VAR in T2, I'd like us to go straight down to T3 if that was possible. That was going to be the one saving grace from being relegated was the fact we wouldn't have VAR, but now they're introducing it. Anyway, we're going to have to call it there, Jamie. I know you're not celebrating yet, but I'm going to give another blast of the music and then you can tell me what's going to happen in the rest of the season.
Rest of the season, mate. I'd like to win one game, please. That's all I ask.
And you'd like it to be next weekend, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. Let's get out of the way.
Thanks for coming on, Jamie, and proving Rob right, I guess we have to say. All right, whenever it happens, enjoy the moment, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you, mate. Take care.
Yeah, good stuff, you two. A nice chat, that. Can I perform the miracle that a lot of you want? I'm unbeaten at the Thunder Castle. I'm going next week. We'll pull off something. They're very capable of it, I must admit. It depends what kind of mood they're in, as Jamie alluded to. But I suppose I've got the satisfaction there'll be one hell of a party Sunday night if Buriram do win it.
Right, I'm going to go on record now. I think they're absolutely going to batter Port next week. I think they'll all be up for it. They'll want revenge. revenge for the 4-1 game earlier in the season. It's the perfect setting. They can celebrate at home in front of a full house. I think they'll probably win 4 or 5-0. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. It's one of those where the momentum's with them and they're not going to blow an opportunity like this.
Do you think they might just get a little bit of satisfaction if Madame Pang has to hand the trophy over next week?
Oh, I'm sure they will. That's probably the biggest incentive.
Yeah, definitely.
So any Port fans thinking of travelling up next weekend, you've been warned.
Yeah, I'm going to make a rare appearance in the away section, basically, because it's going to be a full house. It's the best chance of getting in without any hassle.
Unless you've got an umbrella with you.
Hassle with the inverted commas around it, obviously. But it's nice and easy. You can sit and have a beer and just pay at the ticket desk there. It makes me wonder whether they'll half the away section and open it up to home fans.
Quick question, Rob. What are you going to do at full time? Say Bury Ram do win and they're about to lift the trophy. What would you do? Are you sticking around to watch the presentation? Are you getting out there as quick as possible? What's the plan?
Funny enough, I have thought about this. It's not really my decision. The six of us are going to be in the away end, plus Gary, who's reported to the podcast before, he'll be in the home end and driving. So I'll just go with the flow. Fair play to them, you know. No point getting upset about a team winning the league. They deserve to. It'd be a good occasion, won't it?
And as we found out the other week, your wife's a Bury Ram fan, so at least someone in your family will be happy.
We'll see how much of a fan she is next week.
Right, we're going to do something a little bit different now. Rob's been sitting on this for a while, and it's his plans to improve Thai domestic football. Now, there's quite a lot to take in, but Rob's going to go through it, and then we're going to discuss it at the end. So plump up your cushions, stick the kettle on, make yourself a nice cup of tea, and just listen to Rob's plans for the future of Thai football and how we can save it.
Now, I do warn you all, it is a bit radical. I don't want people combusting out there. I'm not in contact with the League FA or anyone else. This is just an idea I've had. Might be bonkers, so in my best Dragon's Den, I'm going to pitch to you, Dale. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm all ears, mate.
Great stuff. Well, I'm a bit of a football historian, and I think I found the solution from the Third Reich, of all places, in Germany. What I would basically do is scrap the two national divisions and replace them with 8 regional championships, each of 12 teams. Maybe give Isan and Bangkok a couple of leagues extra because they've got more teams, along with the North, South, East and West, and make licences sensible to achieve. The advantages of this is that travel is immediately slashed, as well as expenses. Teams that are struggling will be helped out. Meaningless games are going to be replaced by local derbies. They play each other twice, so that'd be 22 games. The 8 champions will then progress and join by the 8 runners-up. So that's 16 teams. The bottom 2 teams in each division go down, replaced by the top 2 in the semi-pro for each region. So it gives more opportunities for ups and downs. The more meaningful games, it gets rid of the problem of the teams going down and not being geographically suited, not unequal teams in T3 as we've got at the moment. Now, as I say, there's 16 teams then, and they're playing 4 groups of 4, home and away. So that's 6 extra games. So that's 28 games they'd be playing. Now, the winners in each then go into a 2-legged semi-final. So there's an extra 2 games for the teams in top of the groups. And the winners play in the grand final of Thai football at Rajamangala. And scrap the League Cup and keep the FA Cup as it is. What do you think, mate?
Well, there's an awful lot to unpick there. There really is.
Pick away.
Right. I don't know where to begin. Well, first of all, obviously, you've got your idea from the Third Reich, which set alarm bells ringing. But let's just assure everyone that's as far as it goes, isn't it, Rob? With your outlook on life, is this football?
It's purely a solution for football. Yes,
that's okay then. We can progress. We can move on because. Right. Anyway, now we've got over that hurdle. I think regionalising the league is a great idea because obviously travel is a huge stumbling block to a lot of clubs. You know, we even saw in the T2 playoffs, didn't we, at the weekend, Chiang Mai have got to go to Nakhon Si, and it must hurt clubs financially, that distance. So playing regionally makes a lot of sense. I totally get that. I think one of my first questions would be, once you've got through the initial 22 games, is that right? They play each other twice. So there's 22 games. What will happen to the clubs who fail to qualify? Because you've only got the top teams and the runners-up going through to the next stage. So that's going to leave a lot of clubs with a very, very short season.
You can have regional cups, can't you?
Okay. Fair enough.
You can put them in a cup with the semi-pro teams, can't you?
So they'd carry on playing. Their season wouldn't end at the end of those 22 games. You'd have a contingency plan for those teams to play a dozen or so more matches.
Maybe 8 more games, you know, split them into groups or what have you with the final.
Yep, okay. Then you've got teams going down. So the bottom two in each group go down, which is quite a lot. That's, by my reckoning, that will be 16 teams.
Yeah.
So 16 teams will go down and be replaced by 16 teams from the semi-pro league.
Correct.
Do you think we'd be able to find 16 teams in the semi-pro league who were able to make that step up?
I do if they're regionalised, Dale, and you have sensible licensing, yeah. And it'll make teams in the regional division of 12 pull their fingers out. There's too many just treading water.
Yeah, okay, good point. Then we've now moved on to the next stage, which is going to be the 8 winners of the 8 regions and the 8 runners-up. Are you following all this at home? The 8 winners and the 8 runners-up, 16. Now, those 4 groups of 4, would you regionalise those as well, or is this where it becomes national?
This is where it becomes national, because you've got the best 16 teams.
In that case, you could have Chiang Rai United playing Songkla in one of the groups.
Yeah, because you're not doing it every week, are you?
Okay, so you wouldn't regionalise those groups as well. That'd then be open.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Then you've got the semi-finals, which are just the winners of those groups. So the 4 winners of those groups will play in national semi-finals, and they'd be home and away legs. So again, you could have a situation where you've got a team in the north playing a team in the deep south.
Yeah, the reason I've gone for this, Dale, if you regionalise the last 16, you never face any different opposition.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And then the final, so after all this, after we've gone through all this, I was going to say palaver then, Rob, but that would be disrespectful. After we've gone through this whole process, we get down to the last 2 and they play a final to decide the overall champions of Thailand for that season.
Yeah, make it a massive event, you know, make it a showpiece. Similar to what they do in rugby league or Aussie rules or, you know, American football. Make it a big day.
I'd definitely like to see that. One issue I would take with it, I'm not sure that Raja Mangala would be the best place to host it. Depending on, obviously, who the 2 teams are, I think one of the club stadiums in the capital, so you'd probably look at Mung Tong or BG Patum United, or if it's regional teams, you've got Buriram, although presumably you're expecting them to be one of the 2 finalists. But their stadium would be great, again, depending on where the 2 clubs are from. I think that's my issue. I'm not a fan of Raja Mangala for these games for all sorts of reasons.
No, that's fair enough. See, I haven't sealed the deal yet. I haven't signed the contract, so I'm open to a bit of advice.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not going to lie. I mean, if it worked for the Nazis, Rob, I'm sure it could work for the Thai FA.
Well, my biggest problem was I was lying awake at night trying to think which division to put the Isan teams in. Terrible. I had a sleepless night over it.
Obviously, with regional things, some of the regions are going to be harder to qualify from than others, aren't they?
It's just a way. I mean, just a bit of interest. It's a bit daft in a way, maybe. But everyone's saying, where's the money in Thai football? It isn't out there. We've got to find alternatives. I wouldn't be shocked, you know, Dale, if we saw a different format of some kind next season. They've got a blank canvas. You know, it doesn't have to be the same as ever before. Why? If you're going down the wrong road, you change direction, don't you?
I'd like to think so. The problem is they're already talking about having VAR in T2, which hints to me that things won't change next year. Maybe further down the line they might, but I think next season we'll probably see very similar to what we've been used to.
There's been indications and rumours and things can get lost in translation on social media from Thai to English, but I won't be shocked to see more teams enter T3.
I'd like to see that. I think that seems to be where a lot of the ambitious clubs are now. As I mentioned in my chat with Jamie, you know, clubs like Bangkok FC and Sisaket United seem to be doing things the right way and coming up through the ranks. And I think they could play a very big part in the future of Thai football.
Yeah, I mean, your chat with Jamie was right, but I can only see BG at the moment with their money, you know, and you're right, ambitious clubs do need to be given incentives. Going back to that, I do think BG will challenge, by the way, Bury Ram next season, because they've got the stadium and money. And Karat, you're quite right, Swapcat, if somebody comes in and invests. But you're absolutely right, Dale, and we've got to find ways of making it better with what we've got, because there isn't multi-millionaires out there queuing up to buy clubs, are there?
Just private planes to China.
Well, there you go. I mean, at least they've got some sponsors interested, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm still very hopeful. We've said for a while, haven't we? You know, give them time. I think the signs are good. You know, one or two little blips wearing port shirts at matches, etc. But we'll see. Anyway, there's plenty of food for thought there. So if anybody's got anything to add to Rob's ideas, you know, you can rip it apart, you can agree with him, you can do whatever you want. But it'd be interesting to hear what you think about that. Or if you've got your own ideas, we'd love to have you on and discuss them. So that's something for you to think about over the coming week. So we'll leave you with that. Thanks to all the contributors this week. Really appreciate it, as usual. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Yeah, I'll go out and buy some confetti for the parade next Sunday. Have a great week wherever you are, everyone.